Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
High noon, Jones and Keith here on WEEI. We'll get to the Patriots with Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Red Sox made a trade in the last half hour or so. Sonny Gray, now a Boston Red Sox, 36 years old, 14-8 ERA in the fours last year.
You know what his nickname is?
Ooh, I don't. I saw he's a tiny little bit of a guy. He's only 5'10". What's his nickname?
Pickles.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Itty Bitty Gray. That's what I thought he was going to be called.
No, no, Pickles.
Pickles?
Yeah, they call him Pickles.
Do they?
I mean, I don't know why.
Yeah, right there on his baseball reference. Yeah. Full name, Sonny Douglas Gray. Nickname, Pickles.
Call him Pickles. Good get. Good.
I gotta be honest, I like that.
Like it even more.
A little bit more. I do. So he is on his way to the Red Sox. On the way out, because people are asking on the text line, we've said it a handful of times. On the way out, Dick Fitz and Brandon Clark, number 5 prospect in the Red Sox organization. Cardinals are also eating $20 million. So that changes it. I thought the Red Sox initially were on the hook for $31 million in salary plus a $10 million buyout. You may not care about the money, but John Henry absolutely does. $41 million spent on this player. You go, well, what else are they going to have to spend? And now the Cardinals are eating $20 million. I feel a little bit different. It's $21 million for Sonny Gray this year.
Yeah.
To be...
Doesn't mean he's the number two.
No, a Lucas Giolito upgrade?
Yeah.
Yep. All right, so what else do they have up their sleeve? Are they going to sign a big bat or two? Will they add another pitcher? Joe Ryan, potentially still out there. We'll see. More on that coming up. But joining us every Tuesday at high noon on a Tommy Tuesday, Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He's brought to you by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. And by Shaw's and Star Market, go shopping and get rewarded. Tommy Curran, how are we doing this week?
Not a baseball town. It's not a baseball town.
Well,
it's not a baseball town.
I mean, not the way the Patriots are playing. And yet, they suffered some injuries in what I would call an underwhelming performance for the Cincinnati Bengals. Look, the one seed is always important. The bye week is important. Advancing deep into the postseason can correlate with that. Do you think there's a, well, heightened need for that one seed, given some of the injuries, Milton Williams a week ago, and now two on the offensive line, for the Patriots to get healthier and go on a run?
I don't know if it's heightened. I think under any circumstances, the Patriots positively 100% prior to anybody getting hurt really needed the one seed, not just for the bye, but for the opportunity to play whoever you're playing at home. You know, they've been unbelievably fortunate in terms of injuries, whether that be the way Vrabel managed them from July until almost Thanksgiving, or the training staff, or good fortune, or the teams they've played, or the command that they've had in games. They've been really fortunate, but it's inevitable that every single season you're going to have a spate of injuries, and the spate hit them, and they've still been fortunate. Antonio Gibson's loss for the year, I think he would have been a real contributor, especially as we see really what's kind of a D running game, which they have, which we can get into. But they're lucky. They're fortunate. So you want the bye week, but I don't think it radically changes necessarily how they approach this. This is all gravy. I mean, for God's sake, they're 10-2. They won 12 games over the previous 3 years combined.
Yeah, but there's a little bit of a strike while the iron's hot type of mentality when you see sort of the landscape of the AFC, and so you don't want to just, you know, split the remaining games and, you know, go out wild card weekend. I mean, there should be a little bit more.
You don't want to, but the likelihood is they could. I would be surprised if they lose three in a row. Excuse me. I don't expect them to, but I would not be surprised. I would not be surprised if they lost to the Giants.
Wow.
Ooh.
I would. Scale 1 to 85, Keith.
Oh, 84.
84.
Yeah, I'd be surprised.
Two, something like that.
Giants
Giants
are rough.
So, wow. Okay, so you don't.
I don't expect it. Again,
no,
I don't expect
it. You just wouldn't be surprised.
It.
I got it.
So when whatever friend of mine retweets that.
Yeah. Brian, clip that. Yeah.
He aggregates it.
Don't quote his quotes. Don't do that. Tom, do you have a theory as to, and maybe you mentioned with the running game, the issues they've had in the red zone and in the goal line at putting the ball in the end zone?
They have had their warts masked by Drake May routinely, and it happens in the middle of the field, and it happens at the goal line most significantly. They're 25th, I believe, scoring in the red zone. They're like close to 27th, and I might be butchering that, on scoring in goal-to-go situations. On third and one or two, they're around 50% running the football. That's friggin' horrendous. 50% on third and one or two. Do you know what they are on third and 11 to 15 throwing the ball?
Ooh.
They're close to 50%.
I was going to say probably the same.
They're close to 50%. There's no friggin' difference. So to me, what we've seen is a team that was put together in the offseason with some spare parts from other teams, with some hope at the tackle and guard position on the left side, with hope at the right tackle and center position. They've been great, but don't overestimate the quality or the physical dominance of these guys. I shouldn't say quality. They're not blowing people off the line. The running backs are fine-ish, but they're just not a good running team, period. And people need to realize that, I think, and reconfigure expectations for how much they're going to do. I don't even know, when you think about it, guys, what would you do? Do you feature Stephon Diggs in the red zone?
Well, because I was going to say, you just highlighted.
It took him four downs to get there.
I mean,
when you think about that, though, it took him four downs to score a touchdown with Stephon Diggs at the end in Tampa Bay with a half a second left on the clock before halftime. It had to be the most ridiculously perfect throw and an insanely good catch. They don't get anything easy down there.
No, they don't.
It's true. I mean, but I would say if you're McDaniels,
maybe.
Yeah, if you're McDaniels, throw it more. If you can't run in that spot, throw it more. And if you're going to run it, don't run with Terrell Jennings and Ramondre Stevenson. Run with Henderson would be my vote on that. But that does.
Like they pulled every lever.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you say they ran nine plays? They did about nine different things.
Yeah, did Henderson have one at the goal line? He got down to the goal line. I don't think he did. Jennings had one, and Stevenson had two. And yeah, I mean, I would get your best back on the field. But it does segue into
fantasy team.
No, I don't.
Oh, he's just the best back they have.
I don't own shares of Travion Henderson. No, just the way he ran down by the goal line against the Jets would have swayed me.
Jets. Jets.
Yep. It's time for this week's Drake Take, brought to you by Tommy Curran, presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. What was wrong with Drake at the beginning of the game, in your estimation?
I don't think he came out with a lot of urgency. I think he came out kind of in a rocking chair mentality. I'm going to go easy here. Just going to, you know, I'm not going to get myself over-ramped. I'm going to swing easy off the tee, hit some fairways. And then because he was playing a little bit more easily, he was making mistakes. And he kind of admitted that, said I need to rip the ball. And that's what it looked like to me. If you look at the first, not each of the first eight attempts, but some of the misses, he was kind of just standing upright, and I'm not looking for him to do a soft shoe back there. I mean, there's a happy medium, but it just didn't feel urgent. I remember I was watching the game with Michael Hawley, and I said that on just the first couple throws. I'm like, he just doesn't seem very urgent. And I'm not thinking that he thought it was going to be an easy game or he was taking it easy or not into it. That was just the first impression, that it didn't feel as if he was attacking the plays and the opportunities.
What's the bigger loss over the next few weeks, you think? Milton Williams or Will Campbell?
Whew, good question. Maybe Milton Williams, because you might see a more precipitous drop in the rushing defense than you will see on the offensive line. You know, Vidarian Lowe's not going to go from zero. He's not going to be zero of Will Campbell. He might be 65%. He might be 75%. He might be 80% of Will Campbell, but he's not going to drop to zero. I think we already saw the significance of Milton Williams and then Kyrus Tonga being out the other day, when they just got gashed. I mean, Cincinnati got kind of whatever they wanted on the ground. So I would be more concerned about that, because you're going into a part of your schedule where teams are a little bit better. And so, again, it's Baltimore, Buffalo, and the Giants, who just have had two competent offensive games in a row. It's not a layup.
Okay. Tom E. Curran, every Tuesday at high noon here on Jones and Keefe. We call it a Tom E. Tuesday with Tom E. Curran at NBC Sports Boston. Check him out on Thursdays on WEEI Afternoons and all over NBC Sports Boston as well. Tom, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You
Happy
too,
Thanksgiving, Tom.
Tom. Enjoy yourself.
You can check out his work at Tom E. Curran on Twitter. Maybe a Giants loss this week.
You wouldn't be surprised.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Yep.
Not predicting it.
No.
Brian, don't you dare clip it.
Nope. Don't even think about it.
Not predicting it, but wouldn't rule it out.
Okay.
Which is covering a lot of, that's Brian Hoyer-esque. That's covering a lot of bases.
That is true. I still like the Patriots. I understand they've had some injuries, as have the Giants. I don't know if you've noticed. Malik Nabers, Cam Scataboo.
Yeah.
Probably Jaxson Dart. We'll see. Maybe Jaxson Dart returns. Pats are opening up as 7.5-point favorites.
Nice.
At home.
I get that McDaniels spun the dial down there, but yeah. I would maybe give it to your best running back down there.
There's a lot of, well, yes, me too. There's a lot of kind of like just pouring water on the rest of the season, being like, yeah, I know they're 10-2, but like, let's just call it a season.
Yeah, well, I would agree. If you asked me in August, I'd be like, yeah, 10-2 is great. I don't care what's going on. Yeah, I'll take it. But it's not. We're not in August.
No,
we're watching the team, and the one seed is in their grasp. So yeah, they should.
They're just as good as everybody else.
Yeah, that's
now part of that is all these other teams that we thought going into the season that were going to be really good, maybe they aren't. Fine. Whatever the equation is,
sure.
It's kind of like an equal playing field right now in the AFC, so I'm not going to look at it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Be like, oh, it's simply house money. So like if they lose out, they'll be 10-7, which was my like optimistic expectation on the season, right?
Yeah.
But if they lose out, like how insane would that be?
I would not yeah. Like how they got there.
No.
I would have been okay with it in August, but how the way they got there wouldn't be promising. 617-779-7937. That's how you get in touch with Jones and Keefe. You can dial us up. You can also text. A lot of the text line is, way ahead of the curve on the brag of the week, I think. The good submission there from Curran.
People have an ear for it
which
now.
We'll get to. Meanwhile, we'll also get to the Sonny Gray trade that the Red Sox made. Rob Bradford, WEEI and Baseball Isn't Boring, is going to join us coming up about 15 minutes from now, 12:30. We'll get his thoughts on the trade. We got Kiefer Madness. We got Anfernee Jennings. So jam-packed here. Any developing thoughts on Sonny Gray? I've dug in on a couple of numbers here.
I've dug in on why they call him Pickles.
I buried the lead.
So this is more important. So his nickname is Pickles. And apparently it comes from a combination of his fondness for pickles.
He likes pickles.
Loves pickles.
That makes sense. Was he a fan of Tommy Pickles?
I don't know. We could ask him.
All right,
and when he pitched for the Oakland A's, he frequently pitched when the team wore their alternate green jerseys. So then they had Players Weekend, and the team, remember they get to put names in the back? And so his teammates were like, you should be Pickles. And he was like, fine. And so he went as Pickles.
So he should pitch in the green uniform.
He should wear.
I mean, the Red Sox.
The
Red Sox look good in the green uniform.
The City
anyway.
Connects.
Yeah. Get him.
So that makes all the sense in the world. So 36.
That's probably why they got him. They're like, we got these new green uniforms. They look like $1 million. Who loves green? Pickles.
Pickles. So he pitches exclusively at home on Friday nights.
Yes.
Yeah. That works.
That's fine. If they go 6-man rotation, you could probably figure out a way to do that.
Yeah. It's
making over $1 million.
The Japanese leagues. That's what they do. Everybody 6-man rotation. They all pitch once a week. Sonny Gray's day is Friday when they're at home.
Old Hass Rodburn turning over in his grave. But no, Sonny Gray, the big acquisition. They trade Brandon Clark, their 5th-ranked prospect, and Richard Fitz for $21 million of Sonny Gray. The Cardinals are picking up $20 million. Red Sox are picking up $21 for one season. I think it's a good addition overall, but once again, this is going to be graded either more harshly if this is like the main thing they do, or if this is a compliment of like three other moves, and you're like, look at this.
I kind of think Carrabba's nailed it. He said, odd Gray trade. On the one hand, you need a guy who can give you innings. He could do that. On the other, Breslow said the Red Sox are targeting a number two starter. Gray is not that. He's also quite expensive. It's less expensive than when Carrabba's tweeted this. They're on the hook for $21 million. He says, I'd rather spend that elsewhere. If this is a supplemental move to big moves this offseason, it's a great move.
Mm-hmm.
If this is one of, call it two big moves, this is your big pitching move, and you're signing one big bat, bringing in Bregman, adding Pete Alonso.
Well, if you're just re-signing Bregman and then bringing in Sonny Gray, then no. But if you're getting Sonny Gray, a real middle-of-the-lineup bat, and let's even say another pitcher, then, like, that's awesome.
Okay,
that's a great offseason.
But I'm saying, if it's one bat and Sonny Gray, whoever that bat is, that's not enough. It's just not.
But you know what I kind of like about this, and this might speak to the sort of the philosophy, is it's not just, hey, the Red Sox have so many good young players, like there's no urgency. Signing a 36-year-old does suggest that you're trying to win next season.
Trading your number five prospect.
Yeah.
You know who wouldn't? Look who's on the other side of this trade.
I'm all excited about it.
Bloom is like stoked to get the number five prospect.
Yeah. Yeah,
Breslow's not afraid to trade the number five prospect. He's traded bigger prospects than that.
Like he could literally be a one-and-done player, and so you're not just trying to line up players with Roman Anthony and Meyer and Crochet and Rafaela. You're like, no, we also could use... We could bring in a guy in his mid-30s if he pitches his tail off.
I mean, look, you guys might not like Breslow, and that's fine. He's eons better than Bloom.
That's not for debate.
This trade, to me, highlights it. This is everything I hated about Bloom and what I do like about Breslow. But are they going to be reined in by John Henry's spending? We'll see. 617-779-7937. By the way, somebody texted this. I can't believe Sonny Gray, in his career, which he's 36 years old. He's been in the bigs forever.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He's only made 7 starts at Fenway Park. He pitched in the AL East for a year and a half. He's only made 7 starts at Fenway Park. He was in the American League for a long time, A's and Twins. Thank you.
The last time he was in the American League, he was the runner-up for the Cy Young.
How about that?
Pretty good.
0-4, 684 ERA at Fenway.
Well, that was some good Sox lineups.
He had to face Mookie.
He has allowed, I was looking at the wrong line. I was like, 29 home runs. Now, that's at Great American Ballpark. 2 home runs and 26 and a third, so that's actually not terrible. I was also looking at his splits from a year ago.
Right.
A year ago, a much better pitcher against lefties.
Oh, reverse splits.
Well, last year he was.
All
right. Righties hit him at a 282 clip, 788 OPS. Lefties were 245, 668. For his career, though, that's much more even. He's actually basically even against both. 238 righties, 228 against lefties. So that's not as alarming in his career. Reverse splits, though, last year for Sonny Gray. So... Yeah, what if Brian was in here in the last break? We were saying if it's Sonny Gray and two bats, which I don't necessarily think is realistic, but I'm trying to tell you what I'd be happy with. Bregman and Alonso plus Sonny Gray, great offseason.
I'll take it.
What if it were one of the bats, your pick, Bregman or Alonso? I think your pick is Alonso.
I'd rather have Alonso.
Mine is Bregman, but whatever. I like both.
Wrong.
What if it's Gray, Joe Ryan, and a bat?
Oh, yeah, I like that a lot, too.
Me, too.
I love that.
My preference would be two bats instead of two arms.
Yeah.
But you want to lean in on pitching, and now it's Crochet, Ryan, Bayo, Gray, in whatever order. Like I could get on board with that.
Yeah, that's nasty. That's like the Dodgers rotation. But you just start adding like all kinds of studs.
But is this all wishful thinking?
Yes.
And is this just something that's never going to happen? And the more likely scenario is it's going to be Bregman back with Sonny Gray, and that's going to feel pretty effing underwhelming.
The reason why. And, you know, I fully admit maybe I could be taking the cheese a little bit here. But the reason why it's a little bit more believable this go around is because the plan that you and I have and a lot of fans have isn't this year's version of Juan Soto, which people were talking themselves into last year, which just seemed like impossible. They were not going to sign Juan Soto. And that's why you hear more people talking about Pete Alonso and Kyle Schwarber and not Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker, who actually didn't even have a good second half, but he's the guy that's projected to make $300-400 million. That's not in the equation. So you could sign one of those big bats that's not going to have a huge long-term contract, so almost like this year's version of Bregman, which you did sign last year. And then there might be another trade, sort of this year's version of Crochet. And you wouldn't have to give up as much for Joe Ryan as Crochet, I wouldn't think, but in line with that. So two things that Breslow has already done. Signed a player in his 30s, for 3 years at huge average annual value and made a trade for a pitcher. So I think it is somewhat realistic.
It's a good point. This is a bit of an all-in is too strong, but it's an aggressive for this year, trying to win games, going for it type of move. I mean, it is that.
Yeah.
Now, they could certainly go more all-in, but adding a 36-year-old to the front end of your rotation, although is he truly a front end of the rotation starter?
I mean, I
but think adding that guy does show some urgency. I'll grant you that. Our buddy Rob Bradford, who's going to join us coming up about 10 minutes from now, he wrote the following, weei.com. While Gray is a perceived top of the rotation option for the Red Sox.
That doesn't sound like a sure thing.
He wouldn't seem to be the caliber of starting pitcher Craig Breslow is hinting at acquiring to the team up front with ace Garrett Crochet.
Okay.
The three-time All-Star is reliable, having pitched 180 and two-thirds innings last year while making at least 28 starts in each of the past 3 years. In 2025, he went 14-8, 4.28 ERA, blah, blah, blah. Struck out 201 and walked just 38. He led the National League in strikeout to walk ratio a year ago, which is good.
Nothing to sneeze at.
He did have a line in here too about Brandon Clark,
all right,
who is the biggest prospect moving in the deal.
He's a pitcher.
Clark had been ranked as the Red Sox number 5 prospect according to MLB pipeline. He was a 5th round pick in 2024. So actually, that was a Breslow pick. That wasn't even a Bloom pick. He started strong last year with single-A Salem before struggling with a 5.08 ERA in Greenville. So maybe the shine's off him a little bit.
Is that the Salem Yaks? Where are they now?
Ridge Yaks?
The Ridge Yaks. That's them now.
That's the Ridge Yaks. Yeah. Well, he never got to pitch for them, unfortunately.
Sadly.
Gone too soon. 617-779-7937. We'll get Brad Foe's thoughts on this trade.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.